and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. We start with breaking news. A military helicopter crash with possible fatalities tonight near Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The U.S. military confirms two 101st Airborne Division air assault helicopters crashed in Trigg County. The crash of those two Black Hawk helicopters occurred during a routine training mission. Conditions of the crews still unknown. A vigil held Wednesday night in Nashville for the three children and three adults killed in Monday's school shooting. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
We're learning more about the victims, including the head of the school, Catherine Koontz, who may have confronted the shooter. Among the three nine-year-olds killed, Hallie Scruggs. Her aunt posting on Facebook, she was incredibly smart, feisty enough to keep up with her three brothers and my four boys. There is heartache in every direction.
I have a nine-year-old, so it definitely hits really close.
In Los Angeles, seven California Highway Patrol officers have been charged with involuntary manslaughter in the death of a man who was pulled over during a traffic stop.
The incident took place in March 2020.
Have a seat and provide your arm.
38-year-old Edward Bronstein, a nurse, was pulled over. He was taken to a Highway Patrol station where he allegedly resisted in submitting to a blood test. That's when the altercation began. As he was being held down, he struggled to get free. At one point, he could be heard saying he cannot breathe. The district attorney says the officers had a legal duty to help Bronstein. Their failure, he says, caused his death and is criminally negligent. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The FDA has approved over-the-counter sales of naloxone under the brand name Narcan. The nasal spray can quickly revive someone suffering an opioid overdose. CBS's Michael George has the details.
The FDA is encouraging the manufacturer to make Narcan affordable as the country battles an overdose epidemic. CDC data reveals more than 100,000 reported fatal overdoses in the 12-month period ending in October, the majority involving opioids.
A respiratory infection has landed Pope Francis in the hospital. CBS's Seth Dones reports from Rome.
We know he's been having his respiratory problems for the last couple of days, and that he was sent, according to ANSA, which is the state media here, sent in an ambulance to Gemelli Hospital, which is the hospital that popes go to.
The 86-year-old pontiff had part of a lung removed when he was a young man. That surgery followed a respiratory infection. And in the U.S. Senate.
On this vote, the yeas are 66, the nays are 30, and the bill is passed.
The bill is the repeal of the authorizations for the use of military force.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Scott for Scott's here.
Do you hear that? Bring the mic in close. That's not how the grass should sound. There's weeds everywhere in this lawn. It's time to take action with Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action. It gets three jobs done at once. Kills weeds, prevents crabgrass, and feeds your lawn so it keeps growing strong. Ah, much better.
Get a bag of Scott's Triple Action today. It's guaranteed, or your money back.
Feed your lawn. Feed it.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, March 30th. There's a special meeting notice in Wood County in the town of Grand Rapids. At 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, there will be a public information meeting concerning safety improvements at County W and 48th Street and County Z and 48th Street. The meeting will take place at the Town of Grand Rapids Fire Station, 2410 48th Street South. In Portage County, the Groundwater Citizens Advisory Committee will meet at 7 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. There will be an update on the following county projects: Nelsonville Work Plan and Monitoring Wells, Portage County Water Project, and Central Sands Groundwater County Collaborative. They will review the groundwater management plan and updates and possibly take action on the plan. In sports, Wisconsin's basketball season is over after last night's loss in the NIT semifinals. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 15 overnight under clear skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 44. Overcast skies again tomorrow night, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows around 33. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
From any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Sometimes the mouth works without the brain attached. I apologize. You know how that works, Dom.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Crudy.
The happier hump day. Anyways, let's just get started. Dom, you know what I promised to you?
What's that?
I will never drink a cup of Union Bustin' Starbucks Joe. I will never drink that coffee. Now, I'm not a coffee guy, so it's not much of a pledge.
way to go on a ledge, man.
It's like giving up, you know, Rocky Road ice cream for Lent if you hate Rocky Road ice cream. But, Dom, it got contentious on the Hill today. The Schultz guy, the labor-busting CEO of Starbucks, I guess he's, what, chairman of the board emeritus or something. And Bernie Sanders, my dude. Today had a little square off on the Hill, and I believe we've got some of the sound of this, and we've got some coverage of this as well. This is the breaking news, Dom. I find it all over the interwebs. Bernie Sanders laying some lumber. Let's see if we can find the sound. Ah, damn it, I got yesterday's sound here. Let's start with the Bernie Sanders, if we could, E-Bone. Let's go with cut number one, Starbucks violating the labor laws. Cut one.
These violations include the illegal firing of more than a dozen Starbucks workers for the crime of exercising their right to form a union and to collectively bargain for better wages, benefits, and working conditions.
Yeah, but Starbucks doesn't want that. That's bad for their bottom line. Because if you can squeeze the labor, you can squeeze a couple more nickels to the bottom line, Dom.
Well, you don't become a billionaire without squeezing somebody, Crudy. He's very proud of that. Let's hear more from Senator Sanders. They broke the law. Cut two, please.
Judges have found that Starbucks broke the law 130 times across six states since workers began organizing in the fall of 2021.
You know, one thing I have been encouraged by, sort of post-pandemic or sort of concurrently parallel with the pandemic, the revitalization of the unionization effort. Workers taking a little power back, joining together, collectively bargaining. We've been friends, especially with the Teamsters. We've seen some of these service unions try to unionize in Milwaukee. What? Colectivo Coffee, a prime example. And obviously, Starbucks fighting it tooth and nail. But Bernie's always stood with the unions. Talked about it today. Cut three.
At a time when 71% of the American people now approve of unions, the highest level since 1965, there has been a major revitalization of the trade union movement in this country.
And one more from Senator Sanders from the hearing today with Starbucks and their board of directors emeritus, Howard Schultz, I believe his name. But here's Bernie, my guy, Bernie Sanders, cut four.
Unless we change the nature of the way our economy works, it is all too likely that our younger generation will have a lower standard of living than their parents.
You know, Dom, when I do drink coffee, I like it like Howard Schultz's heart, black.
With a little whiskey in there, Crudy?
Or some rum. A little Irish coffee. Bernie Sanders confronts former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz on company's labor practices. CNN, my source. Senator Bernie Sanders, who has roundly criticized former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz over the company's blatant attempts to shut down its own workers' unionization efforts, finally got to question Schultz during a hearing about before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee today. Over the course of roughly 2 hours, and I think Schultz felt like it was a rough 2 hours, on Wednesday morning, Sanders questioned Schultz, currently Starbucks chairman emeritus, about the company. Those on the left pressed Schultz on the coffee company's labor practices and wondered how the former CEO can claim that the company act lawfully despite the National Labor Relations Board finding that it did not. It broke the law, Dom. Those on the right, by contrast, Dom, painted Schultz as a successful CEO. He's created hundreds of thousands of jobs. He's a job creator, don't you know, Dom? Some taking the opportunity to defend business leaders in general and skipping the questioning entirely. Whose team do you think they're on?
Yeah, right.
Later, one former and one current employee described seeing pro-union colleagues penalized and being punished themselves. Here's a quote. Sanders, my guy, all over the country, workers are struggling. They want to join unions. They want better wages, better working conditions. They want that at Starbucks. I hope that what today has done is to tell Mr. Schultz that the time right now is to do what is legal, to do what is appropriate, to sit down and negotiate a first contract with their workers. Got this one, Don?
Yeah, Sanders, who accused Schultz of illegal anti-union activities in the past, reiterated on Wednesday that, quote, the fundamental issue we are confronting today is whether we have a system of justice that applies to all or whether billionaires and large corporations can break the law with impunity. Sanders mentioned that Starbucks and the union have yet to sign a contract. Quote, what is outrageous to me is not only Starbucks' anti-union activities and their willingness to break the law, it is their calculated and intentional efforts to stall. What Starbucks is doing is not only trying to break unions, but even worse, they're trying to break the spirit of workers who are struggling to improve their lives. And that is unforgivable. Senators aren't the only ones who want more answers from Starbucks, CNN reports. During the company's annual shareholder meeting last week, investors voted to approve a proposal that would have the board of directors commission and oversee an independent third-party assessment of Starbucks' adherence to its stated commitment to workers' freedom of association and collective bargaining.
Well, you can make a statement. Doesn't mean you got to live by it, does it? Not when it gets in the way of the bottom line, Dom.
We're going to form a blue ribbon committee. Companies are not required to adhere to proposals that are approved, but if they ignore them, they risk angering investors. The results of the vote were shared in an SEC filing Wednesday after the hearing had wrapped. Starbucks said in its filing that it has a previously announced third-party human rights impact assessment already underway, which includes a review of the principles of freedom of association and the right to collectively bargain. I mean, really? You kidding me? I mean, the NRLB has already said you broke the law. You don't really even need to, you know, form your committee or waste your shareholder dollars looking into that. You already did it. CNN continues.
You waste the shareholder dollars giving yourself plausible deniability, Dom.
Really?
Defendable since positions for future civil suits.
Nearly 300 Starbucks stores have voted to unionize and have been certified by the NLRB. It's a relatively small number compared to the roughly 9,300 company-operated Starbucks in the United States, but union organizers are fighting an uphill battle against the company. 300 stores, we've got to start somewhere. NLRB Administrative Law Judge Michael Rosas recently said that Starbucks had displayed egregious and widespread misconduct in dealing with employees involved in efforts to unionize Buffalo, New York stores, including the first location to unionize. Starbucks repeatedly sent high-level executives into Buffalo area stores in a relentless effort, the judge wrote, which likely left a lasting impact as to the importance of voting against representation, unquote. As a result, the company must reinstate and make whole a number of workers who were let go from locations in or around Buffalo, the judge said. Judge also said that Schultz, the interim CEO, and another company leader must read the notice to employees or be present at a meeting where the rights are read. Stand up and read it, Schultz. When Sanders asked whether Schultz would read the notice, Schultz said, "No, I am not, because Starbucks Coffee Company did not break the law," he said. Schultz said during
Bernie wind up. Bernie's got a heart condition, or Bernie would have been losing his schnizzle on this guy right about now.
He says Wednesday that Starbucks unequivocally has not broken the law. He referred to the judge's findings as allegations, adding that, quote, "We're confident that those allegations will be proven false." Starbucks said in a statement at the time of Rosas' order that it is considering all options to obtain further legal review, adding, "We believe the decision and the remedies offered are inappropriate given the record in this matter." When Sanders asked Schultz to commit to exchanging proposals with the union within 2 weeks of the hearing, he declined to do so, saying instead, "We will continue to negotiate in good faith." Starbucks argues that it is the union that has dragged its feet to the bargaining table. Yeah, come on.
Dominic, there's more. It's like getting 100 speeding tickets and claiming innocence. Later in the morning, Senator Christopher Murphy questioned Schultz on his assertion that Starbucks had been acting legally, saying he was attempting to square Starbucks, and Schultz's claim it had done nothing wrong, with repeated official findings otherwise. It is akin to someone who has been ticketed for speeding 100 times saying, "I've never violated the law," because every single time, the cop got it wrong. You've tried that, Tom. Didn't work the first 99 times, did it? Some senators defended Schultz as a stand-in for business leaders in general. "Mr. Schultz, I applaud you for your success. And I applaud all the CEOs out there for their success," said Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who a few weeks ago got into a heated exchange with the general president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Sean O'Brien, during a help hearing. Senator Mitt Romney threw barbs at his fellow committee members. "It's somewhat rich that you being grilled by people who've never had the opportunity to create a single job. I've got binders of women I've given jobs to, and yet they believe that they know better how to do so." You know, thank God for Republicans standing up for those poor CEOs in big business.
Gertie Schultz, according to The Hill, a three-time Starbucks chief executive who abruptly resigned from his post ahead of Wednesday's hearing, denied Starbucks ever broke the law. When asked if he ever coerced or intimidated workers who considered joining a union, Schultz said he, quote, "had conversations that could have been interpreted in a different way."
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
you're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
18 degrees.
You shut that thing down, and we are not going to be held responsible for whatever happens.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Scott Ross going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Scott Ross, what is his title now? I just called him Angry Twitter Guy.
Angry Tweeter.
That could describe Trump, though.
Yeah, right, right.
One more quick thought, Dom. I love it when Bernie Sanders comes out in public, starts calling out big business. When you start putting a squeeze on the worker, that should be bothersome to we the people, the broader electorate, the 99% of us that aren't billionaires, should really be offended by the fact that the billionaires use their wealth to crush the so-called workers, right? They're the job creators. As long as you work for a sufficiently low wage. And if you try to unionize and collectively bargain, they're going to crush you. Dom, it's always strange to me. What do I hear all the time? There is no such thing as a free lunch. Republicans always say asinine things like that. And literally, during the pandemic, there were a number of free lunch programs. And here's the crazy thing. Right-wingers, conservatives, air quotes, Republicans, they don't give a damn about the outcomes. Because if they ever looked at the policy outcomes, they might be a little more supportive of things like, I don't know, free lunches in the schools. Giving people a little leg up. Giving the worker a chance to earn a little bit more. But let's talk about the...
I mean, food in the belly. You know, you say free lunch. How about offered lunch? Because, you know, like the free education and everything else, it's all got to be paid for. But the question is the investment worth it? Is there a ROI, a return on investment for you Republicans out there? You know, to put a belly full of food in a kid who doesn't have the power to tell his parents how to live.
You know what? Specifically, there is return on that investment. But don't tell the righties. Ben Shapiro specifically tweeted this out. If a child is on the verge of starvation... You must call CPS, not spend hundreds of millions on disproportionately unhealthy lunches, a huge percentage of which are discarded. As it says here, Shapiro is wrong. There's a great deal of evidence that free school lunches reduce student hunger and improve children's health. Conservatives don't necessarily care about good outcomes, though. That's because they don't want good outcomes. They want to police people. The discourse around school lunches is a brutal, disturbing example of the broader carceral logic of right-wing politics. And right now in the state of Wisconsin, we talked about referendums on the ballot. Should able-bodied people have to work for their welfare benefits?
Mike, that's a very good question.
As is currently the law in the great state of Wisconsin.
Right.
A little bit more from this article. Republicans and those on the right believe that government should not be used to help those in need, but to punish and discipline marginalized people. What Scott Walker always used to say, we celebrate the 4th of July, not April 15th, because we celebrate our freedom from the government. Apparently not tax day. I also hear, you know, welfare is supposed to be a trampoline, not a net. Anyways, I read on. School lunches have been studied extensively, and there's little question that they improve health outcomes for children. And contrary to Shapiro's claim that school lunches are unhealthy, research finds that children who receive free school meals are more likely to receive daily adequate nutrition and more likely to eat fruits and vegetables and drink milk. Shapiro also argues that school lunches are economically inefficient. He believes poor families don't exist. There are no poor people, Dom. They don't live in my neighborhood. I don't see them. And if children are hungry, it's because they're being abused and they should be taken away from their parents. Of course, this is ludicrous. Real hunger and poverty do exist in the U.S. There are families that do not have the money to afford both rent and food. There are families who want to care for their children but lack for the resources to do so. And the U.S. government estimates that 12.5% of households with children are food insecure. That's like 1 in 8, Dom. Which means that there are times when they do not have enough food to feed everyone in the family. In most cases, adults feed children first. But even given that, in 6.3% of households, children experience food insecurity. A little bit more, and we'll get to the lines. 844-967-2789. School meal programs are also incredibly efficient. One study found that every dollar spent on school meal programs saves $2 in reduced healthcare costs and reduced poverty. And a Swedish study found free school lunch programs resulted in 3% higher lifetime earnings for the children. And presumably that's 3% higher taxes paid by those kids over their lifetime. Starts adding up to real money. A lot more than a couple of cheese sandwiches in a brown bag, Paul Ryan.
844-967-2789. Let's get some callers in. Jim from Appleton, Wisconsin. You're up. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. Sorry I didn't give you much time, but please throw it out there. What do you got for us?
All right. I don't need a lot of time. My first complaint is you guys, they're regressives. They're not conservatives. Or you can do what Todd Alba's gotten and call them regressive conservatives. 1849, slavery's legal. You got that right. And women couldn't vote. The only people that could vote were white men. And the only people that did vote were white property owners.
Well, that's what's got to be preserved. Got to go back to the original constraints.
The good old days,
of the
Jim.
White man constitution, Jim.
Yeah, that's what the regressives want to think. But,
Jim, thanks for listening. I know there was a but I don't have time to hear it. Because we got to find guests. Coming next, he is Scott Ross. One Wisconsin now, used to be.
Formerly?
Aggressive tweeter. Absolutely. Friended the Devil's Advocates and a Gemini. No doubt. Come back. It's always good conversation. Scott Ross and the Devil's Advocates and you. 844-96-PARTY.
The Shaw. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break?
Because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night?
Hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family.
or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. United Way of Southwood in Adams Counties starts their book drive on April 3rd. You can donate new or gently used children's books at the United Way office in Wisconsin Rapids. There's three questions on the April 4th ballot. Two of them would expand criteria for setting cash bail. Both candidates running for the state Supreme Court say they would support the cash bail amendments. But Wisconsin Public Radio reports Wisconsin's Office of the State Public Defender has criticized the proposal, saying it would expand a flawed bail system where freedom often depends on someone's ability to pay. Others say judges already have the authority needed to protect the public when they set bail. Wisconsin wildlife officials are urging people to get a state trail pass for this year. Anyone 16 and older who is using a state trail needs to show a pass when a warden asks. The Department of Natural Resources says the $25 annual cost helps maintain state trails. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 15 overnight under clear skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 44. Overcast skies again tomorrow night, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows around 33. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
I'm sorry, say that again. Going to Italy or something? Paisan?
Yes. Oh, hang on. Yeah, here we go. All right, we're good. Yes, going to Italy, middle of the month. Looking forward to it. Steph and I get a little breakaway. I know Ross is coming, man. I saw him tweeting us out, so I expect he'll be joining us here very shortly. Let me just, while we're waiting for the connection with Scott, I was thinking, as we were talking about the Starbucks and the defense of the CEOs, right? And who was it? I think it was Romney who was just saying something like, these people who've never created a job, yada, yada, yada. And I think, well, that's BS, number one. I've created a few jobs in my life, I understand. Lots of people have, and and some people are good at it, some people are not good at it. But the point being is you don't have to physically do something like that in order to have an opinion as to how it should occur. For instance, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Romney is not able to bear children, but I'm sure he has a lot of opinions on abortion. You see where I'm going with this? I'm very sure a lot of these war hawks have never spent any time in the battlefield, but yet they're going to be out there and judging whether or not we should send other people's kids to war. So just because someone was not employed in the private sector in a quote-unquote job-creating capacity has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not they can garner the wisdom to form an opinion as to how workers should be treated. Because no matter what, most people have been a worker, Mr. Romney. And just because you're not on the other side of the equation doesn't mean you don't know what it's like. So when you get your uterus, maybe then you will have an opinion that counts on abortion. Just saying.
You're a little feisty.
I mean, I just hate that. Like, really? Like, you have to literally do the stuff yourself. Have a personal experience with A, B, or C prior to casting any sort of judgment upon it. And there's a reason why we have a National Labor Relationship Board, right? There's a reason for that, because big business has been stepping on workers forever. 844-967-2789.
I'm still not clear that we've sent the accurate email address. I'm watching. And I'm like, doing, no, man. I don't think it's his birthday, and there's not 41 days in the month of June. Did you hear me, Ebone? You sent the wrong email address, fella. Try again.
Okay.
Eventually, that, Scott that's Ross. What,
okay. Okay.
Take another look. He's a Gemini like you and I.
We share Scott and I and the former guy share a birthday together.
I know you do. That's
only the super cool and Donald Trump.
And also being a June birthday boy, I knew there were not 41 days in June this year.
No, not 41.
No, still wrong. No. Oh, geez, man.
some troubles here.
We're gonna lose a whole segment to typing in Scott Ross's email. There it is. Send. There we go.
We'll figure it out. Sanders grilling Schultz under oath. And I want to remind people too. Schultz apparently resigned from his position right before testifying. What is that all about? Oh, we're gonna set up some blue ribbon committees to see how we're treating people. You know how you're treating people. And some of the reporting on here, I saw something about the employees wanting to have, you know, some higher wages and the ability to be tipped. Like, you can't tip on the credit card right now at the Starbucks. Is that a corporate thing? Because not a lot of people, when you pay with a credit card, want to tip with cash. I'm not clear. But we know how Starbucks has been treating their employees. Otherwise, they would not have been, what, ruled to have broken labor laws more than 130 times.
Now, you've coffeeed at Starbucks, I feel quite confident.
I still do, yeah. I like a Starbucks coffee every once in a while. Absolutely. No, I prefer to go to like my local chain and get some coffee there. But I'm down with the Starbucks. And some of those, what, 300 have voted to unionize. Listen, and I'm not a big, you know, I'll never go to that place. You know, the coffee itself is fine. The bean, I'm not a big fan of the bean, but I like the mixes and I like the little fluffy things they do. The macchiatos, although it's not a true macchiato, you know, whatever. I enjoy the coffee. And those people, they're locals. They're working there. They're just trying to earn a living like everybody else. So I don't want people to say, no, don't go there. Go there and support, especially support the unionized ones. Tell them, hey, we hope you unionize. What can I do to help you? Here's a dollar, since what, your corporation won't let me put a tip on the credit card as some sort of policy. It just seems a little strange to me. So thank you, Senator Sanders, for standing up once again for working folks. 844-967-2789. Waiting for Scott Ross. In the meantime, Robert from West Allis, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom, I get your point. I think it's really interesting, this job creator argument. Remember, we gave away all those tax cuts, and they were supposed to create all these jobs. And where are the jobs, right? Everyone at the time said this wasn't going to happen, and we did not see the jobs out of that massive tax cut that blew a hole in the deficit.
And, now, you're talking about the manufacturers and agribusiness tax credit that was supposed to be $150 million a year, ended up being over $300 million a year. And if my recollection is accurate, Robert, there was no specific job requirement on the tail end of that tax cut.
Yeah, and when I took economics, my understanding was customers, right, requiring a good and service create a job, not the employer. The employer doesn't create anything. There's no demand for that goods or service, and there's no reason to have the position. So, I think we've kind of got it all backwards on how the economy actually works.
Oh.
Well, I think we know how it works, Robert, but people like the senator from Utah seem to think they have a better beat on it. Remember, this guy came in there who was a creative destruction, Mitt Romney. So thanks for the call, Robert.
Well, here's a creatively destructive friend of ours. He's Scott Ross, fresh from a trip over the pond. Scott, what's your title now? We put you down for aggressive tweeter.
Hey, Scott. There you go. You can say that. A Gemini. Or you can say... You can call me an aggressive tweeter. You can call me a spokesperson has been. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Mm. Or the devil's advocates. I apologize. That's on me, probably. Or Evan, but I'll
definitely not Dom.
Not Dom in this case. Now, Scott, you must have been watching from afar, but now you're back on the ground in beloved Wisconsin. State Supreme Court race. Who do you like in this one, Scott?
I mean, I like what Janet Protasiewicz is saying, obviously, from like an ideological standpoint. She's a proven, you know, she's got a proven track record of fighting for community safety. She's, you know, a veteran prosecutor, a lifelong advocate for victims of crime. She's got that kind of experience. Dan Kelly, on the other hand, you know, is a crook. And an extremist, and I think he doesn't represent the values of the people of Wisconsin. That said, everybody better be doing the work they need to do, because the Republicans have tended to close pretty strong in these races, and they've definitely shrunk the gap in terms of the money advantage.
And what about his, let's say, resume? I mean, he is an esteemed graduate of the Pat Robertson School of Broadcast, is he not? Renamed Regent University. I know that Protasiewicz caught a little... hell from the right because she giggled that both of her opponents, or both of the conservatives, air quotes, well, they're both esteemed grads from Regent University. Does that not make him entirely unqualified? I mean, sorry, I'm not trying to college shame, but really?
We're talking about Regent University, Pat Robertson University, not Liberty University, the Jerry Falwell University. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I think that they fought for a long time in terms of getting accreditation for the law degree. Certainly at Liberty they did. Dan Kelly had no resume other than being a politically connected right-wing ideologue, which is why Scott Walker appointed him to the judgeship, and, you know, why he inevitably lost the first time and why he will lose a second time.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal Scott Ross. He's a tweeter. He's a firebrand. He's got the same birthday as I do, Scott. Great to see you again, man. Also, the state of Wisconsin. I mean, Dan Kelly was involved in what? Providing legal advice to the Wisconsin Republican Party and the RNC over the fraudulent criminal, as we would suggest, elector scheme. And this guy now wants to what? Be put on back on to the Supreme Court. Do you think Protasiewicz has been effective in highlighting that particular part? Do you think people care, Scott?
I mean, this is a threat to, I mean, his actions have been a threat to democracy. I mean, as the January 6th investigation showed, the committee hearing showed, Dan Kelly was extensively involved in conversations about Trump's effort to, you know, subvert democracy, to enact a coup, to, you know, the terrorist insurrection which happened on the state capitol, or I mean on the national capitol. So I think that she's done a good job. I think the allies have done a good job. I think this is, you know, anytime you're talking about a threat to democracy, I think that's something that can bring Republicans and Democrats together. Now, certainly there are enough stop the steal people on the Republican side, but I think that those voters I think that some of the voters who broke for Biden, you know, who might have otherwise possibly supported the Republicans are those kinds of voters that this might target. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the Republicans are wrong about a lot of things. But like, there are some who believe in fairness, and attacking democracy is unfair in a lot of people's view. But, you know, it'll be remained to be seen. I mean, the threat to democracy is real. And having Dan Kelly not on the court, I think, would be an incredible feather in the cap to democracy here in the state of Wisconsin.
Abortion has been a driving force since the midterm, since the overturning of Roe v. Wade last summer, Dobbs, the decision. Scott, I took encouragement from the earlier primary, the Supreme Court primary a couple months ago. At least here in certain parts of the state, we saw record turnout. Dane County, about 36%. Now, that's still anemic in a democracy, but it certainly, to me, indicates that people are aware there is a Supreme Court race. They're aware that abortion is currently illegal in the state, and there's really only one avenue seemingly to change that, and that would be a vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Now, I know you haven't been on the ground, but you got to know what's going on. Scott, how big a driving factor do you think this decision was, this Dobbs decision, to what's going to happen on the 4th?
Well, I think, yeah, no, for sure. And a lot of times, like, especially on the Democratic side, we see people trying to make A to C arguments, right? Like, try to have a bank shot to get to something. This is an A to B argument. If Dan Kelly is on the Supreme Court, we will not be able to overturn the 1849 criminal abortion ban in the state of Wisconsin. If he is on the court, it will not happen. Simple, short, sweet. This guy is in the pocket of the anti-abortion machine. That's why he's got all the money from Uline. That's why he's got all the money from Diane Hendricks. That's why he's had the endorsement of these groups. And that's why we know the way he is going to vote if given the opportunity to vote to overturn the 1849 abortion ban. You know, Jan, on the other hand, she can't say what she's going to do. But I think, you know, but it seems pretty clear that she is pro-choice, believes in the rights of women to have freedom in their reproductive decisions. And I think that, you know, that's all that I need to know, you know.
Scott Ross, here's what I need to know. We kind of shorted you, man. Can you stick around for a few more minutes? Help us finish the show.
Go for it.
And would you allow us to indulge a few callers if we did so?
Only if they say nasty things to me.
There is a probability. You know, can't just be the host doing all the nasty talk. We got Scott Ross for that. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Your phone calls could be next. State Supreme Court race in the great state of Wisconsin. If it does not go to Protasiewicz, if there is not a changing of the court, not only will abortion forever, or at least seemingly forever, be banned in this state, there will never be democracy again. Democracy is dead unless you vote for Protasiewicz. And come back and listen to more Scott Ross and the Devil's Advocates, and you on the phones as well.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
in sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio. You can always hit us up on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we got a fine guest. He stuck around. We appreciate him doing so. He's an aggressive tweeter, a Gemini, our friend Scott Ross. Scott, got to ask you, off subject. You a baseball guy, man? Opening day tomorrow, Cubs Brewers. Hope Springs Eternal.
So I used to watch baseball with my grandmother. I grew up in Pittsburgh, was a huge Pirates fan. I used to know every middle name of the 1979 world champion Pirates. But in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Pittsburgh went to the playoffs three straight years. And after the second year, they lost Bonilla. And then there was talk they might lose like three other players the year after. And I made a list and I said, if they lose three of these six players, I'm never going to pay to see baseball again. And they lost all six within 11 months. So I did not pay to see baseball. I don't know the last time I bought a ticket to see baseball. I have gone to see baseball when other people have paid, but I kept my word at least for 25 years. So I am a big fan. I'm not necessarily a Brewers fan. You know, like I get a lot of grief from Wisconsin fans about teams that I like that they don't like. And we always, you know, it always sort of closes with, you know, me making some crack about the Milwaukee Brewers World Series championship trophy case.
You know, I got hell recently because I put something on my Facebook to the effect that Jesus hates the Cubs.
That's fair.
I feel like he does. 844-967-2789. Before we get to the phones, be patient, folks. Scott, I got to ask you.
Go.
Donald Trump was supposed to get indicted like a week and a half ago, at least according to his own claims.
Yeah.
I'm like Farouk Assault over here. I want it now, Daddy, or let's move on to the real indictments, perhaps the one out of Fulton County or one out of Jack Smith in the special counselor's office. You know, the Stormy was big news like 7-8 years ago. But Scott, this one's not going to move the needle politically, and it's not going to put his ass in jail, to my opinion. So why waste the effort? Your thought?
Well, I think that we have to, you know, people have to be held accountable for the wrongdoing. And I would say, like, you know, when the Obama administration did nothing to investigate the war crimes of George Bush that cost us 4,160 U.S. lives in Iraq, for the lie in Iraq, I think that when you don't hold somebody accountable, it just makes the next person do something even worse. And I think that we've seen the trajectory of criminality because of that. You know, I mean, I just think like actions need to have consequences. And I want to see him in jail, too. You know, I'm one of those Twitter creeps that every so often just like has to smack his head and say, what do you have to do to get indicted by Merrick Garland? You know, what do any of these people have to, you know, what is the crime? What crime is, you know, because it's incredibly frustrating. And I'm showing that now with my stammering. So I apologize.
That's okay. As far as having accountability, Fox News, at least as it pertains to Dominion, more news continues to come out. They knew what they were saying was bunk. Scott, what do you think will be the end result of this particular case on Fox News and perhaps in journalism as a whole?
Well, okay, a couple things. One, I would not characterize Fox News as journalism. And I think that the tapes, you know, the text messages showed that. We know that they're a propaganda outfit, but it was so stark. You know, if I were the White House, I'd kick them out. I don't think that that kind of operation should have access, because it's not a news outlet, in my opinion. If it goes to the Supreme Court, Fox is going to get its way, because the Supreme Court is controlled by the Republicans pretty hard right now. All supportive of the justices that are on the right there, including the three illegitimate justices put there by Trump. But Dominion's case seems pretty darn, I mean, it's pretty hard to look at what they said about the company, how the company had nothing to do with this. That would seem to be, and Dominion, for whatever, I mean, libel is what, actual malice, reckless falsehood or knowing disregard for the truth. But am I missing that? But it seems like they would be guilty of both of those things regarding this.
You know, I'm glad I burned it down over on Fox News, so I don't have to go through the quandary of being invited back on a fake news source. 844-967-2789. Patrick from Madison, say hi to our friend, aggressive tweeter Scott Ross.
Hey, Scott. Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
I've just got a couple questions here. Well, my boy plays for Stevens Point, my grandson, baseball, so I'm into baseball. But I was up in Wisconsin Rapids in the Point area, and that used to be a big-time Union Blue area. And all I see was this F. Biden signs, Kelly, nothing on the other side.
Patrick, how recently was that?
Yesterday.
Pretty recent.
Pretty recent.
They played double headers in Rapids, and I seen nothing, not one sign, nothing. And I know the paper mills have gone out and a lot of stuff like that, but I think some of these people got to get in that area. And that scared me when I seen all this, because they don't have a clue.
Yeah, it is a little scary. Do you appreciate your call, Patrick, and the update from WFHR land. Now, Scott, we are on the radio now. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin Rapids, and that's only been about a 6-month endeavor. We didn't change the electorate yet. You know, that takes time. It's a glacial thing. How concerned are you? I've been very encouraged by the number of young students I've seen at local get out the vote events, Charlie Barron's Monday night, etc. But when you get out state, it's a whole different characteristic, the state of Wisconsin. It's a couple different states, the rural and the urban. Scott, how worried are you that the rural are going to turn out for Dan Kelly?
Well, the caller brought up some really important things, and that is what kind of communications are happening out in the outside of Madison and Milwaukee, especially when it comes to the Democratic or the progressive side. And, the gerrymandered maps have been incredibly detrimental to, not only electorally, but there's not a presence out there of Democrats being able to respond to what the Republicans are doing in the media. So like when there's an article, it's just what the Republican has to say. Anytime there's criticism, it seems to be leveled at Voss, and it doesn't reach out there to the local representatives. So like in Rapids, that Scott Klug guy, the guy who said he would never run for reelection or take per diem or whatever, who's been in there like, a dozen years, like he's not being pummeled on a daily basis for the hypocrisies and the crime done by the Republicans down in Madison. It's left for Voss to take all that on. And I think that having more of a media presence, and thank goodness this is happening, I think is going to give more discussion of the issues, because right now it's just been one-sided in a lot of these places.
Scott Ross, wish we had more of you on the radio, man. Maybe we'll talk. Stick around. The Hump Day Edition. We got the Empowered Caregivers at 7 o'clock. We've got Native Roots Radio at 6. Keep.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's